Well, I'm going to share a few scriptures tonight and a few things that are in my heart. Well, I'm going to go back. We're going to talk about love, and I want to share a few things that we were talking about. Love last week, and this is kind of part three for the love of God. You know, the interesting thing was when I was at Rhema, Brother Hagin said that a couple of the two main areas, and the book of John is very, very loaded with this, but if you look at Jesus' ministry, a couple of things that he talked about before he was sacrificed himself on the cross was love and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those are two things that, you know, Jesus talked about there before he left. But I think one of the things that we talked about last week was the prodigal son. And just, if you remember the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11, you know, it goes through the recount of Jesus is telling the story about the prodigal son. And this father had two sons. One wanted his inheritance. He wanted to go live, it up, blew all of his money, came back. But the interesting thing is, you know, we look at the prodigal son and the focus is on the prodigal son, but I want to turn your attention to the father, right? And last week, if you remember, talking about the prodigal son, yes, he fell into sin, but there's a couple of things that we realize with the prodigal son. Number one, he realized that he could go back to his dad. And the great thing about the prodigal son is he had a revelation of his father's character. He's like, well, I can go back to my father. Now, he didn't expect him to be restored back to his, you know, to be a son. He thought he'd just be a servant. And then we see the father is waiting for the son to come back. So that tells us several things. Number one, the son understood the character of the father. He was loving, wanted him back. And the father was waiting for him to come back. Now, again, we're not going to take some time to read through this again, but read it in your own time later on. You're going to see a few things here too, where when the father was looking for the son, and the son came back, you notice how he didn't give him an earful? You notice that? What's our tendency as parents? You know, what'd you do that for, right? I mean, when we make mistakes, we make mistakes. You don't need anybody to tell you that, right? I remember doing dumb things as a kid, you know, and yeah, believe it or not, I did a lot of dumb things when I was a kid. But I remember one time riding my bike. We didn't have helmets back then, okay? You know, there was no helmets. Nobody rode your bike with a helmet. That was crazy. Now it's like if you don't have a helmet and shoulder pads and elbow pads and knee pads and an inflatable bubble around you before you ride your bike, you know. I mean, I fell off my bike, hit my head, had a concussion. I was in the hospital the very next week. I'm on my bike again without a helmet, right? But, you know, you do silly things. And for example, you know, in the world, when I was backslid years ago, a long time ago, and I had an addiction, I didn't need anybody to tell me I was messed up, right? I don't even remember the story, but I would be out on the weekends. I'd be playing in bars, playing in clubs, and everything else too, and I'd be so convicted, and sometimes I'd be inebriated, and I have to go to church. So I'd be up all night, and I just do whatever, and I'd have to have somebody. A couple times I had my friends just drop me off at church. I'm like, just drop me off. I'll get a ride home. Because I was so convicted. I didn't need anybody to tell me that I had an issue. Why? Because I've been born again when I was younger, and on the inside, it bothered me. And you know what? I knew that if I got back to God, everything was going to be okay. And I understood that. And for a long time, I thought, oh, God's probably mad at me because I'm screwing up all the time. And then finally, I got the revelation he loves me. And you know what? That takes the pressure off. We were talking this morning about, earlier in prayer, just about anxiety, and you realize when you're trying to control everything and you're taking everything upon yourself, you know, that's where the Bible talks about roll your cares off on the Lord. So you're taking things upon yourself that you have no control over, right? You're worrying about things that may never happen, probably won't happen. Have you ever had a job interview or something like that, or you're going, or you have a class or something like that, and you get to the job interview or your first day? Remember the first day of school? You know, I remember my first day of high school. I was terrified. I thought, I'm not going to know where I'm going to go on. And you know what? It didn't happen. I was all worked up the night before, especially when you have a new school you go to. So when I was in grade school, and then, bounced around a couple schools, and I went to junior high. What is it, middle school now? Whatever the term is now, whatever. It was junior high back then, and then high school. So when I went from junior high to high school, I was a little freaked out. And you know what? It was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Everything was great. And I just made up a lot of stuff in my head. But the son understood the father's love, and he came back anyway. And the crazy thing was, and we talked about the other son, how he was not happy to have him back. Now that tells you the character of the older son, doesn't it? Yeah. Now if you got a family member that's off and they come back and get things straightened out, that should be a joyous occasion. But we see that the father had the love, and that who is that representative? Well, it's obviously Father God. Look at John 10 real quick. John 10, verse 14. And I'll share a few scriptures. Like I said, we're not going to go too late tonight. John 10, 14 says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, this is a very fascinating scripture here, and I love to dig into these scriptures because we read things just so casually. We just kind of Cadillac along, cruise along when we read some of these scriptures. But he says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. I want to stop here a moment. He's a good shepherd here, and he's going to get into some other things. But Jesus is full of love, and what does love mean? There, he's involved. Remember people that I know, they just don't care. People who don't care, they're not interested or involved. They're like checked out in your life. You need, let's just read on here. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll always recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because what I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay down my life, or I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it up again, and I received this authority personally from my Father. So what does this say? First of all, it says love sacrifices, right? Love sacrifices for others. Love is involved. Love is involved. Love lays down their life for others. I always like to think, Jesus and God, they're probably from Missouri, the show me state, right? Show me your love. I mean, we use love for everything, right? I love chocolate. I love pizza. We're not talking about food. We're getting hungry here. I love sports cars. I love, whatever. But when Jesus talks about it, he says, love is associated with laying your life down for others. This is, of course, there's many differences, but one of the big differences between Christianity and Christ and other religious leaders and other world leaders in the past is because they all expect other people to lay their lives down for them. But Jesus says, I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm actually going to give. Everybody else is about taking, right? I mean, look at anybody in history. You look at Alexander the Great when he went through Greece, and then he went up through, defeated, the Persian Empire and everything. It's all about taking for themselves. Jesus gives freely, lays his life down for others, which is absolutely foreign to everything else that we're used to. And then John 13, we'll stop here. John chapter 13, verse 34 through 38, the Amplified Classic says, I give you a new covenant, or a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if what? You love one another, if you keep on showing love amongst yourselves. You notice how it's a continuous process? It's not just, I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, the people I've married in the past, or if Adrian and I, when we got married in that church, that we, you know, said our vows and everything, and then we got in separate cars and took off and left. It's not an event, it's a life that we live. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, you're not able to follow me now where I am going, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me, completely disown me three times. And so Jesus is testing Peter here at this time. But we see here that all of the love is actually that Jesus is about laying himself down for us, showing that action, giving and sowing it into us and loving us, and also him being actively involved. We're his sheep. He pulls us together. He is a shepherd. Oh, he wants to gather all the sheep together as one sheepfold, and him being the shepherd together, being involved and loving us and showing us through healing, through salvation, through joy, through peace, through defeating the devil, death, hell, and the grave. John 10:10 says, I have come. The devil comes to steal, or the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I what? Came to give you life and more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray. Don't look. There's pizza. Just look this way, guys, okay? I'm going to pray over the food, and then I'll let Amy take over, point everybody in the right direction, and we'll go ahead and eat. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your love. We thank you for Pastor Adrian tonight, all of her sacrifice and everything she's done. And Father, I just pray over the food that you will take sickness and disease from our midst. You'll bless our food and our water. Tonight we say that the food is blessed. We thank you so much for this fellowship, and we glorify you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.